Hi, welcome to episode 23 of the Drive Podcast. Today we're going to talk about teacher research, action research, and why it's so critical and important that teachers step into this area. It's a need that we need to address, and it's being addressed, and it's becoming more popular, but there's a need for this. So take a risk and put yourself out there. Investigate your room, investigate why you do what you do, and see what can you do to be better. What are you doing that already works amazingly well? Teacher action research. That's what today's episode of The Drive is all about. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the drive.
On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, it's good to be back on the Drive Podcast after a small break for some semester ending work on my part, which has been, it's been a good semester. I'm getting closer to finishing all the coursework required before I can do my qualifying exams and start working on my dissertation. So every day is one step closer to that. And it looks like I will be through all that coursework by December. So that's really exciting. 2 full years of coursework as a full-time student, and then into dissertation writing, and then done. So I know the dissertation is quite large, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel, so that's really cool. And thank you for participating kind of on this journey. As I've gone through this, I've been able to share some stuff with you about all that along the way, and been able to talk about some things that I feel are important and challenging for educators to consider. So today, I want to talk about something unique. I want to talk about teacher action research. I took a class this semester called Advanced Pedagogical Research, and it was a class that emphasized and looked at and dissected teacher research or investigating pedagogy and kind of things of that nature. It was really, really interesting. It made me start thinking back to when I was in my classroom in high school, and I flipped my class. I wish I had had some sort of guidance on this, because I feel like the flipped classroom worked for me. I feel like it was good for the kids for the most part. I felt like there was a lot of things that were positive happening out of that. But if I'd been more systematic in what I did, if I had organized my class in a way that allowed me to truly look at what's going on, I think it would have helped a lot and it made me better. I was reflective the whole time. Every year I was reflective on my flipped classroom. And that's one of the key things of teacher research, is reflection. But I wonder if in this day and age where teachers have lost some of their voice and are trying to find it again, I wonder if teacher action research is something that could amplify the voice of the teacher. And here's why I say that. As teachers, We know what's going on in our classrooms. We know what we're working with. We know the strengths and weaknesses of our students. We know the strengths and weaknesses of our communities. We know all kinds of things that are specific to our building, our location, our district. And one of the things that kind of happens as a offshoot of state-funded and government-funded school districts is that people who are maybe not as well versed in these situations paint with a very broad brush exactly what students should do, when they should do it, how they should do it, where they should do it. And then, you know, that trickles all the way down to the point that sometimes in our classrooms, we're being asked to do things that we know won't work, that we know are not the best, most efficient way to do those things, that we know could have a negative impact. And so I think one reason that teachers should consider action research in their class is to help give a body of knowledge, of work, of actual research from their classrooms that can help with our message to those that create policy of, hey, look at these things, look at what's happening, look at what's not happening. And you know what? Sometimes our political leaders get it right, sometimes they don't, but this is a way for us to come in as teachers and go, look, this is what is happening in my classroom. And if we get enough teachers doing enough of this, it can become a very, very powerful tool for teachers to use. It can also be beneficial when you're working with your parents as well, because, you know, parents, and rightfully so, are very involved, hopefully, in the education of their children and want to know what's going on as well. And sometimes if you do something different or new, or you teach in a way that parents didn't learn, they automatically arch their eyebrow. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with parents when I was flipping my class about, just tell me everything that's happening here. I didn't learn this way. And that was good. That was really good, because typically by the end of that conversation, parents were on board. They understood the whole picture. And it was a good conversation to have. But with all the educational technology rolling around, with all these new ideas of how to teach, I don't know if new ideas of how to teach, but just different ways of teaching that can be tried. Why don't we look at those and how they look in our classroom, how they work in our classroom, what impacts they have in our classrooms? And I think it could shed some light on some different things. So how do you go about doing this? How do you go about looking at your classroom and deciding, you know, do I do action research? Do I not? Is this something I want to pursue? You know, what all is involved here? And to do it right, teacher action research, it takes time, and it takes some energy. And I know that when you hear that, automatically teachers are like, I don't have any more time or energy to give. The cool thing with this is a lot of this is upfront planning on your part, and then just kind of documenting along the way what's going on in your classrooms. And so, yeah, there's some time, because you need to write and share and create that system. But as far as the action research part, you're teaching and then you're reflecting on your teaching. You're looking at what's going on. You're gathering artifacts from your students and data from your students. So how does this look? There's a few things that you need to consider as you, if you want to pursue an action research in your classroom. One, have some sort of driving question that you're interested in. I wonder why I do this. I wonder what happens if I do that. Maybe you're in an elementary setting and you're wanting to try centers that are focused on different iPad apps. So I wonder what happens if I go away from the traditional center to one that's focused on iPad and Chromebook apps or whatever. You know, maybe you want to investigate the flipped classroom. I wonder what happens when I flip the classroom, you know. And so you have to have that driving question, that what if question. I wonder what if. And once you have that question sorted out, then create a way and think and don't create a way. Do some research on what all is involved in that. See if you can find things that have been done before that you can look at to kind of get an understanding of, okay, this is what I've found. This has been done before. They tried doing these steps when they, you know, with this particular problem. And maybe those are steps that you had thought of or not. And one of the great things to use in this process, especially if you're in a school, a lot of schools have access to databases with tons of literature in there for you to look at from all different walks of education, from the pre-kindergarten teacher all the way up to university researchers. So take full advantage of that. And if you're in a library where maybe you don't have as robust a set of data resources that you can use, maybe one of the, you know, try scholar.google.com. That particular search engine just scrolls through all of the like scholarly journals and peer-reviewed literature and things like that. So you can go through there and look for those keywords of what it is that you're looking at. Oftentimes before I go to my college university's indexes, citation indexes and things like that, databases, I often go through Scholar first just to get an idea. And then to more narrow my search down, then I hop into my university databases. So Scholar is an excellent way to just get some idea of what's out there, what's been done, what's been tried. And maybe some of that information is done by, maybe some of that information is given to you by academic researchers at the university level or independent researchers, and maybe some of it's been done by other classroom people. It's important to just kind of get an idea of what's there. And then just kind of run through that literature, look through it, take some notes on it, write down the ones that speak most to you and your situation, and kind of organize some thoughts based on what you see inside that literature. And that will also help you guide your question as you start to develop and wonder and think on what is going on in my classroom. And as you dive into this literature, you may find a couple of little rabbit holes to run down, specific things that you had thought of or whatever. So this is a good kind of opening deal. And I know summer times we're busy as teachers. We're recharging our batteries. We're focusing on next year. We're looking at different things. But you know, a couple weeks in the summer where you can just take some time and do some reading, because I know that teachers, for the most part, a lot of teachers enjoy that, the reading. Try this, a really narrow reading, and look at what's been done. Once you have that done, you've looked at the research, you've got an idea, now start to design your plan. What are you going to do? What permission do you need to get from your school administrator or district administration? What is their forms, or what's the, you know, what's the policy in your district? What's the protocol you need to follow? And start working on that groundwork as well, because you know you're working with students, and the overall goal here is to do what's best for our students. That's the overarching goal. So develop all of that stuff, find out what needs to happen and when it needs to happen and how it needs to happen. Start working on permission slips and ways that you're going to notify parents of what's going on and share with them this process that's going to happen. And start to design how your research is going to look. What is it you're going to look at? What kind of information are you going to get? What kind of data are you going to use and analyze? Are you going to look at test scores? Are you going to get feedback from kids? Are you going to have them rate different things on scales? Are you going to use their actual coursework or artifact that they've created somewhere? Like, what is it that you want to use to document this whole process? So you're wanting to document this whole process. And then start to plan out some of those lessons and start thinking about things that you want to try and investigate, you know, that support this question or don't support it or whatever. Just what is happening? In one of my classes this semester, it's qualitative research, which is similar. Qualitative research is research that doesn't necessarily focus on numbers and statistics. It looks more at a personal level. So a lot of teacher action research falls under that broad category. And I didn't give you a super specific definition of that. But qualitative research is research that doesn't necessarily go well in general terms. Like, I can't say that what I saw in my own classroom could happen well enough all over the world. I can't say that. But what I can say is, for my classroom, this is what I saw. And if enough teachers look at that particular thing in their classrooms and this is what they see, then we have a more general, broader view, and now we can start looking at some statistical analysis. But that's not what qualitative research is. It's not an examination of statistics. So with your teacher research, because its nature tends to lend itself to qualitative study, this allows you to really ask kids and interview peers and interview and get data from those sources and in those ways. And it allows you to look at student work, and it's really flexible for this kind of work. And what you'll need a ton of information. I noticed that for the research that I did in my class, I did it on Twitter, and I did some interviews, and I transcribed those interviews and did some things. But for all of the pages of interviews that I had transcribed, I did not pull out loads and loads of data. I got specific data, I got important data, but it literally takes a forest to get a tree with the data sometimes. And so just be prepared for that, and be prepared to organize all your data and be prepared to make copies or whatever. And that's where some of the hard work will come into play. Once you've got your design ready to go and you think you understand how your artifacts are set up to, you know, what it is that you want to see as far as your artifacts go and things like that, now the school year starts and it's time to step into that researcher role. And the teacher researcher is it's critical. And I know sometimes that academia frowns upon the teacher researcher, but the teacher with the students is where the rubber hits the road. That's where every policy created lands. It lands in that classroom. And there's no way that a researcher from some institution somewhere, no matter what kind, can actually get into and see and feel and live the life that a teacher lives with their students every day in school. And so this is really, really important research. And it's critical that you understand that, yes, you may not be a trained researcher per se, but you know your class, and you know how to teach, and you know how to document, because we got to do all of that stuff every day. And so you're being very systematic, you're organizing all of that stuff, and you become the actual real life researcher. Super important, super critical, and you're giving voice to everything that you're seeing now, and you want to use that voice of your students and the culture in your school and all of that to help give a good foundation for what it is that you're looking at. And so as you dive into your research now, grab all your artifacts, write little brief memos on the day a couple of times a week. Just take a few minutes, write down things that happened, things you saw, things of significance, even things that seem insignificant at the time. And just start to track yourself and record, through, I don't know, dictation software, or just take 30 minutes at the end of the school day and type, two or three times a week, just things that you saw that are important or not important, but just your general observations of what's going on. And while you're doing all of this, it's also a good idea if you can find a community to work inside, a community that kind of holds each other accountable, a community that works together and collaborates, a community where you can bounce ideas off of each other or share successes or failures, or a community where maybe you can make a suggestion where, you shared your questions with me. These are some holes potentially that could show up. These are some things that I have questions about your questions. And so this creates a way for you to be as thorough as possible, because as humans, we often don't see the holes in our own teaching. And that's one reason why having a friend come in and observe you, or recording your own class and watching it, allows you to see some of those places where maybe you struggle that you just don't catch. And we all have those areas. And so with the action research, if you can find that community, or even do this with somebody else in your building or in your department, even if you're looking at completely different topics, the fact that you have this community working together is critical, and it creates a support structure which will help you continue on the rest of the school year. So once you've got that community developed and you can share, try and meet on occasion for an hour or two, once a month or so, maybe on a Saturday morning at Starbucks. Take some of your artifacts, take your computer, get a coffee, meet with two or three other people, and just talk about what is going on. What are you seeing? What questions do you have? What issues do you have? And create some and connect to maybe some researchers who pursue this, who do action research, and maybe you can seek out some knowledge from them. So fast forward now to the end of the year. You've documented what you've seen. You've taken up artifacts. You've collected all this information. What do you do? Now go through and analyze it. What are the themes that come out? What are the things that work? What are the things that didn't work? And share all of it. Share everything. It's messy, 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 messy. It's super messy, and it's super important. But go through all that stuff. Look at it. Analyze it. There's going to be themes that are established and developed. There's going to be things that you want to write about. There's going to be things that you're going to want to mention. There's going to be things that failed horribly that you're going to want to talk about as well. Give the whole broad picture of what's going on. And then share it. Share it through a website. Share it through a blog. Share it through a local journal, a state journal, a regional journal, a national journal, submit it someplace, clean your work up, submit it someplace, and then be amazed at the impact that your action research can have. I am not an expert action researcher. I'm a baby action researcher, but I would love to be able to help you with this. I have a lot of good ideas. I've been exposed to some really cool things. I've been in public schools. But I think that there's power here. I think there's tremendous power here. So I hope that this is something that you try. If you want more information, tweet me at teachfromhere. You can email me, teachingfromhere@gmail.com. I would love to create a connection with you and help you on your journey with this. And, you know, this podcast, I'm talking towards educators. I'm talking towards administrators, too. What policies are going on in your building that you have questions on? You know, what policies are going on in your district that you have questions on? Think about that as well. It's not just something that happens in a teacher's classroom. This could be a school policy or a district policy that you're really curious about. And maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. But I think teacher action research I think it's important. And I'm glad, I'm very thankful that I had this class this semester. And I hope that through the things that I've learned and through some things that I'm sharing, that I hope that it can make an impact somewhere along the line. Keep an eye on my web space, teachingfromhere.com. What I've got coming that direction here within the next few days, I'm going to post an infographic with more detail on this and also just a short professional development outline of what you can do in your building, and it lines up really well with what was mentioned in this podcast. Thanks for all that you do, for all of you who participate in education, whether you're a mom volunteering in the library, a dad dropping off supplies that were needed, to teachers, administrators, and teaching assistants and librarians, all you people that touch kids in some fashion through education, you are so, so, so important. Thank you for all you do. You make an impact every day. Be brilliant. Thanks for listening to The Drive.